Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On another occasion, Jesus began to teach by the sea. A very large crowd gathered around him, so that he got into a boat on the sea and sat down. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on land. And he taught them at length in parables. And in the course of his instruction, he said to them, "Hear this. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it had little soil. It sprang up at once because the soil was not deep, and when the sun rose, it was scorched and withered for lack of roots. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it produced no grain. And some seed fell on rich soil and produced fruit. Came up and grew and yielded 30, 60, and 100-fold. He added, "Whoever has ears to hear ought to hear." When he was alone, those present along with the 12 questioned him about the parables. He answered them, "The mystery of the kingdom of God has been granted to you, but to those outside everything comes in parables, so that they may look and see but not perceive. They may hear and listen, but not understand, in order that they may not be converted and be forgiven." Jesus said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand any of the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones on the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear, Satan comes at once and takes away the word sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, who when they hear the word receive it at once with joy. But they have no roots. They last only for a time. Then when tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Those sown among thorns are another sort. They are the people who hear the word, but worldly anxiety, the lure of riches, and the craving for other things intrude and choke the word, and it bears no fruit. But those sown on rich soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today Jesus gives us one of the most helpful parables of all, a parable that I very much love, which explains how we're supposed to receive what he's doing with faith, but it also explains some of the times our failures in the apostolate, our failures objectively that have nothing to do with the subjective failure. Jesus, in the middle of this parable, describes the purpose of a parable. The purpose of a parable is fundamentally to see how much we want the truth. When we speak a little bit in coded language, when we speak in images, it requires a little bit of work on our part to try to figure out exactly what the parable means. And those whose hearts are hardened, those who hear and listen but don't really want to understand, those who look and see but don't really want to perceive the truth, they don't get anything out of the parables. But those who are hungry, those who do look and see, wanting to perceive, who hear and listen, wanting to understand, when they put in that work, they will be able to understand the truths of the faith even more deeply by the analogy to human things than they would have if the Lord had just been giving them a straight didactic lecture. And so both for today's parable as well as for everything we learn in faith, it's important for us to look, to hear, and to hunger with a way really to grasp and understand the truth. And when we do, this parable will be lived out. Jesus is the seed. It's his word that's implanted within us. The sowers are all those who try to spread love of Jesus. What I'm doing right now is sowing. What you hopefully will do over the rest of the day is sowing. And the soil is the receptivity to that seed and to that sowing. And Jesus describes that there are four types of soil samples, four basic types of receptivity. The first is absolute stubbornness. It compared to the soil on the pathway, that everybody would walk and harden down so that when the seed, which would be just thrown away rather than planted individually, because that was the way farming was done in the ancient world, when the seed hit that path, it couldn't penetrate, and the birds of the air would come and pluck it away. That's what the devil wants to do to the seeds that God is always planting. These are those who are stubborn. These are those who don't really want to hear. These are those who have said, same old, same old. These are the ones who say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. This is a constant danger for us, to think that we've heard it before, that we don't need the gospel. And so we do listen, but we're not listening for understanding. We're seeing, but we're not seeing for deep perception, because the hunger's not there. It's the first type of receptivity, something that we see in so many of the scribes and the Pharisees. They just were not prepared to accept anything Jesus was trying to implant. Second type of soil is superficial soil. We listen for our own pleasure, not for our conversion. So when the seed's planted, it immediately sprouts up because the roots can't go very deeply. In the Holy Land, for large swaths, there was a thick layer of limestone about 3 to 5 inches underneath the soil. Whenever a seed hit there and it was implanted a little bit, because there was just a little area in which the water could go, the water would be retained there, the roots would suck up all the water, and it would immediately start to sprout and grow. But because the roots weren't deep, as soon as the scorching Middle Eastern sun arose, it would burn and desiccate that new growth for lack of roots. And Jesus says, these are those who hear, but they have no roots. They last only for a time. They're receiving it at once with joy, but they're not doing the work to drill through that limestone rock. They're not putting in the study. They're not putting in the effort to get to know. There are many who listen in this way. If a priest, for example, just gives one joke after another, and they say, very funny, I love to listen to you, Father. Love to listen to you. I can listen to you forever. But aren't converting. This is the type of soil that we're dealing with. This is the type of soil when we come where we want to, for example, learn something new. Just to learn it. Just for this area of growth. And when the light bulb does go off, we're excited. But it doesn't really go deeply to change our moral habits at all. It remains solely an intellectual thing. I've got to beware of this type of receptivity to the Lord. Third type is very common. It's fundamentally good soil, but it's got a lot of thorns in the soil. And that was the way the Middle East was. You'd have all these bramble bushes all over the place, sucking up the nutrients from the soil that could grow very fast. And many times the weeds would look like the wheat as it was growing up, so that you had to wait in order to be able to separate, and then it was too late because all of the roots were intertwined. Jesus describes that these brambles, that these thorns, are worldly cares and anxieties. Whenever tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, they fall away. They hear the word, but the lure of riches, worldly anxiety, and the craving for other things intrude and choke the word, and it bears no fruit. When we're going to listen to understand, when we're going to look to perceive, we have to know what our thorns are. We have to say, am I bringing any anxieties, Lord, as I'm trying to listen to you? Do I have hungers for things other than what you want to give me now? Because if we do, those will distract us from the way that the Word of God is meant to be implanted and bear that type of great fruit. It's natural. If we're worried about a loved one who's about to die, if we're seeking, for example, and our greatest desire this week is to watch the pregame shows for the Super Bowl, we're not really going to hear the Word of God as it's meant to be heard. So Jesus wants us to see what those thorns are and allow the divine gardener who can do what we can't, take them away. And then finally we see the good soil, and Jesus describes those who have good soil. It's first those who hear the word, those who are listening in a particular way to understand it, those who accept it, and that's an active word. Those who are scrambling for it, trying to suck it on in, those who are willing to put the effort in to accept it means that we're going to ask the Lord to take away the thorns. To accept it means that we're going to ask Him to jackhammer through those limestone layers underneath to break up the stubborn soil, who accept it actively, and then who bear fruit, not just, as I like to say, a little fruit, not just some fruit, but abundant fruit, 30, 60, or 100-fold fruit. When we hear the Word of God, it's supposed to change our life in 30, 60, 100 ways or more. Not necessarily all immediately, but when we hear, accept, and walk with this Word, it will change our life. Today in the first reading from the letter to the Hebrews, we see what the Lord tries to implant within us, and that He hopes that we're going to receive with that type of fruitful, accepting, hearing soil. Through the prophets Jeremiah and Ezekiel, that the letter of the Hebrews quotes, says, "This is the covenant I will establish with them. I will put my law in their hearts, and I will write them upon their minds." That law of the Lord is not a scroll, it's not two tablets. That law that He wishes to place within us is the law of the Holy Spirit, the new law. He's going to place Himself inside of us to teach us from the inside not only what to do, but how to receive this Word ever better. Today we celebrate the feast of someone who had this type of good soil and who didn't just produce 30, 60, or 100-fold, but in 25 years of work, He produced over 50 gargantuan volumes of theology and sacred writings that continue to nourish the church until this day. St. Thomas Aquinas was born in 1224 of a noble family in Naples. His parents gave him a tremendous education, and he was bright. He went to Monte Cassino, the great Benedictine abbey, and then his parents entered the University of Naples. He graduated at 18. With all the knowledge that he could get there. It was there that he had met the Dominicans, a brand new order of begging friars, mendicants we called them. His parents were okay if he wanted to become a Benedictine at Monte Cassino, because they figured with his intelligence and with his noble lineage, he would one day become the abbot of the great abbey of Monte Cassino. But it was unheard of and unthinkable for his parents that he would become a begging friar. He came from a noble family. Didn't matter that Thomas had heard the Lord's word to sell all that he had, give it to the poor and follow Him. They wanted him to receive that on hardened soil rather than good soil. And so when Thomas told him and got his opposition and started to sort of leave the family home in order to go be with the Benedictine, his parents went and kidnapped their son, and they locked him in a prison in the castle of Rocca Seca, which is where he grew up. They locked him in a prison for 2 years. There, they tried to deviate him from his plans. His brothers actually sent a prostitute into the cell in the hope that he would lose his chastity. But Thomas was always trying to see the Lord, trying to hear and understand. He had that good soil, so what did he do in those 2 years of imprisonment? He used the great mind God gave him in order to memorize the New Testament. He had a very good memory. It wasn't photographic. He had to put in a lot of work, and he did. And he memorized the Vulgate of the New Testament, word for word, period for period, such that for the rest of his life, when he eventually got out because his parents recognized that they weren't going to change his will or his sense of divine calling, Thomas was able to use that knowledge of sacred scripture for all his writings. What a great gift that was, because he was willing to do the work to receive that word deeply within, and it bore such incredible fruit. But he recognized toward the end of his life that as much as that fruit was important, there was a greater seed that the Lord was trying to implant. He had a mystical experience. after which he told a confessor what had occurred. He told his confessor, his spiritual director, what had occurred outside of confession. And the confessor told us all that after that mystical experience, he never wrote again, because he said, "Everything I have written is like straw compared to this real experience of God in prayer. It's like straw. The Lord is trying to plant the greatest seeds of all." At the end of his life, Thomas was praying December 6th, 1273, before the Lord in the crucifix. And the Lord spoke to him from the crucifix. "Bene scripsiste de me, Toma, quam mercedam accipies." "You have written well of me, Thomas. What reward would you receive? What do you wish that I give you?" And Thomas's response is beautiful. "Non aliam, Domine, nisi te." "Nothing other, Lord, except you. I only want you." That was the hunger that led him to hear the Lord's word on good soil, to put in the study, to let it sink deeply, and to be able to bear that type of fruit, a cornucopia that continues to feed the world. That great love for the Lord was all dedicated to the Lord Jesus in the Eucharist. And in St. Thomas's great Eucharistic hymns, written for the first Corpus Christi, that the Church continues to sing, the Tantum Ergo, the Panis Angelicus, the Adoro Te Devote, the Laudes Eon Salvatorum, Thomas lets that faith really show. To summarize it all, in that second verse of the Adoro Te Devote, we see the type of soil we're supposed to have to receive the gift of the Word made flesh, that greatest of all seeds, Jesus himself in the Eucharist. St. Thomas writes there, "Visus tactus gustus in te fallitur, sed auditu solo tuto creditur." Seeing, touching, tasting are in thee deceived, but it's only in hearing that it may be believed, because faith comes from that hearing in the way that Jesus describes, that hearing to understand. "Credo quidquid dixit Dei Filius, nil hoc verbo veritatis verius." I believe whatever the Son of God has said, for nothing is truer than the word of truth. May we say with St. Thomas, "I believe whatever the Son of God has said, and even if it's a little mysterious, even if it's parabolic, I'm going to put in the work like he did to really get to know it." Because this is the way, when we receive this word, like Thomas did, that we, like Thomas, will likewise be able to bear fruit. We prayed at the beginning of Mass today. "Grant us, we pray, O Lord, that we may understand what he taught and accomplish and achieve and imitate what he accomplished." What he accomplished that we're called to imitate is not 50 plus volumes of theological writings, but what he accomplished was a life full of faith according to the gifts that God had given him. Let us receive the seeds God wants to implant in us with the same faith with which he received his seeds. And then one day we will get to befriend St. Thomas and be able to talk with joy about this fruit forever. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.